From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, this is Alan Cairn speaking to you from Greenville, South Carolina, to bring you another Let the Bible Speak program. Currently, we're studying the Ten Commandments and have reached the Fifth Commandment. Thus far, we have considered the commandment as it touches on the duty of parents, but its primary and most obvious application has regard to the duties of children, and that's the subject of today's study. So, stay with us. The latest issue of our quarterly magazine is available, and we'd like you to join our mailing list. The magazine is distributed freely to those who ask for it, so I hope you'll become a regular reader. This issue is one you won't want to miss. It deals with some of the great moral issues that confront the church and the people of God today. Matters like abortion, euthanasia, homosexuality, etc. It has a vibrant missionary page and a feature article on the life and ministry of a young Christian physician in Northern Ireland. Also available is our monthly Let the Bible Speak tape, or CD, that brings you a combination of music, brief devotional and instructional messages, and personal testimonies of the gospel at work. You may have the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine and the Let the Bible Speak monthly tape or CD by writing or calling us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you.
It has been described as possibly the most stunning archaeological discovery in decades. It is King David's palace, which archaeologists believe they have uncovered in Jerusalem. You may remember that last week I reported on another archaeological find, that of the most ancient example of Hebrew script dating from the times of Solomon and David. That find poses a challenge to liberal, which in this connection is another word for infidel, scholars who have revised ancient Near Eastern history to make David and Solomon no more than mythical characters. Well, now archaeologists have discovered the palace that the supposedly mythical David built. That's the opinion of the leader of the dig, a Jewish archaeologist, Dr. Eilat Mazar. She's excited about the find made in August 2005. "It's a huge structure," she said, "built on the most important place that controls everything around it. It must have been an important structure. We need to reveal more of it." Eilat Mazar's office is filled with the artifacts you would expect to find, but one that she treasures most of all is a well-marked Bible. While historical revisionists glibly contradict the Bible and label it as mythological when it fails to support their own vain historical fictions, this third-generation archaeologist has no doubt as to the historical integrity of the Bible text. She says, "One of the things I learned from my grandfather was how to relate to the biblical text. Pore over it again and again, for it contains within it descriptions of genuine historical reality. I work with the Bible in one hand and the tools of excavation in the other. That's what biblical archaeologists do. The Bible is the most important historical source and therefore deserves special attention." So says Eilat Mazar, the archaeologist leading the dig that uncovered David's palace. It was her confidence in the accuracy of the biblical text that led Dr. Mazar to what she now believes is the northern edge of King David's palace. By a careful reading of 2 Samuel 5:17, which says, "But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold." When she read that text, she surmised that David went down from his palace to the hold or fortress. And she asked herself, down from where? And concluded that it had to have been from the north, for that's the only place where the topography is higher. To cut a long story short, her search, which commenced in 1997, reached its climax with the dig of 2005, when, in a brief time, her conclusions were validated, and what she believes is David's palace was discovered. It's wonderful what you will discover when you allow the Bible to mean what it says and act on it. We can't all be archaeologists. I, for one, am grateful to people like Eilat Mazar, whose expertise is employed to let the world see that God's word is proven reliable at every place where it can be tested. Of course, it's reliable everywhere else, even before we can ever put its statements to the test. But it's always good to get additional proof that the attackers of the Bible are simply acting out their infidelity, not producing any monumental scientific discovery. As I say, we can't all be archaeologists, but we can all stand on the reliability of Scripture. Take God at His word, and you'll discover things you never thought possible. Things far more important than the finding of David's palace. Things like peace of conscience, assurance of salvation, grace to live, and grace to die. God has given us His word. May we never come under the condemnation of the men of Ephraim. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Today we conclude our study of the fifth commandment by showing that being subject is not the only duty of children to parents. The command to honor them goes much further than that, as we now see. Subjection's not the only duty in honoring. Something that many people overlook is that when children reach a wage-earning age, they should contribute to the family budget. That's included in this commandment. How do I know? Because the Savior said it. In Matthew 15, verses 4 and 5, he spoke to the Pharisees of his day, and he upbraided them, saying, God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. What he was saying there was, you're taking the money you should give into the family budget, and you're giving it into the temple or the synagogue. And you're saying to your parents, I don't have that money to give, I've given it to the church. It's a gift to God. Of course, they gave the money that they should have given to their parents, not the money that they had for themselves. And the Lord Jesus upbraided them for it. And he's saying, the commandment is, honor your father and your mother. And part of that is, that when you get to a wage-earning position, then it is your responsibility to become part of that wealth-creating process in the family. It is your responsibility to pay your way. That's honoring your father and your mother. I think that it is a wise thing, as soon as children begin to earn money, that they learn to do two things, three things. They learn to tithe, they learn to contribute to the home, and they learn to save. That may seem harsh, but look at all I have left. Hey, we're training you for life. And believe me, when you get married, there's going to be many a time when you look and say, but look all that I have left. And you'll learn the truth of the old saying that every month there's more month than money. We're training you for life. I think that's a wise precaution for parents to take. But there's another way of contributing. Parents get old. They need support. And the Bible says their children should give it. I know we live in the day of the welfare state, and the state provides many things. And I'm not against there being some safety net for those who need it. But I tell you, it can't take away the responsibility of children to their parents. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 4 and 8. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and requite their parents, for that's good and acceptable before God. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Can you imagine that? And yet, all across America tonight, there are old people's homes cluttered with people that are no more now than the debris of a broken society. Old men and old women, and they're put out to die. Sometimes the family has done its duty when it simply pays enough, the
$2,000 or $3,000 a month to keep them there. Now let me be honest, there are times when an old person cannot be looked after at home. There are times when the physical needs are so great and the level of skill needed to look after them is so high that it cannot be met anywhere but in a hospital situation. And I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about old people, some of whom I have visited over the years, where they can get up in the morning, they can dress themselves, they can shower, they can eat, they can drink, they can walk about. Their minds are clear. The only thing that's wrong with them is they're old. And they're stuck in an institution to die. Honor thy father and thy mother. And it's not just with money. Old people need more than your money. In fact, your money's probably the last thing in the world they need. Old people need you. Sometimes sons and daughters get to the place where they're so busy. The job is so crushing. The bills are flooding in. They're in their rat race of one job, two jobs, three jobs in order to get more and more and more of what the world thinks is necessary. And their parents are going down to the grave, uncared for, unvisited, and no matter what is said to the contrary, unloved. Honor thy father and thy mother. Remember that on the cross, in the midst of his agony, the Lord Jesus Christ looked down and he saw Mary. And his concern, we don't know exactly all the reasons why it had to be this way, but his concern was for her welfare. And he handed her over to John the Apostle. He said, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." He forged a relationship. They were relations, but not son and mother. And he handed her over, that she would be cared for when he was gone. Honor your parents, especially when they're honorable. But of course, Christ gives us the pattern of dealing with authority even when it's not honorable. Now, that's a very big problem. I have young people come and ask me this. How do you honor a parent who's dishonorable? How do you respect a drunken, brawling, cursing, swearing, immoral parent? How do you honor him? It's not easy. It's not easy. But remember how the Lord Jesus treated the rulers of his day? They were far from honorable. In fact, in many cases they were downright dishonorable and vicious men. And yet, first he acknowledged their position. Second, he obeyed them as far as he could. Third, he spoke honestly and temperately about them. Through it all, he sought their good, even to such an extent as when he stood before Pontius Pilate, he witnessed to him a good confession. Think of it, there before Pontius Pilate, he expounded the way of truth to him. Even then, he was seeking his good. Remember how Paul the Apostle followed the example of his master when he stood before Felix? That vicious, lecherous, wicked ex-slave and now a Roman governor. What did he do? He reasoned with him in such a way that Felix trembled under the conviction of the gospel. when he stood before King Agrippa, who was there a wicked, vicious, lecherous, incestuous wretch. He spoke to him about the gospel, so much so that Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And finally, even when he stood before Caesar, that wicked Nero, Paul recognized him in his position, and even then honored and submitted himself to him. And if they could do that, if Christ and his apostles could do that with ungodly rulers, how much more should every child, and especially every Christian child, do so to parents, even when they think their parents have not earned much honor? As Christians, don't we glory in grace? What is grace but unearned favor? And if I'm a Christian and my testimony is that I am saved by the unearned favor of my God through Jesus Christ, how can I demand that the only honor I would give to my parents is what they have earned? Remember the words of Ephesians 4 and 32, "Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Treat others, and especially your parents, as God has treated you." Here then are the duties of children. God has given us a plain precept. He has given us a perfect pattern. And thank God He has given us a gracious promise, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God giveth you. Or as Paul says, "Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment, with promise. The world may not set much stock by honoring parents, but God does, and He'll bless it. Now let me end on a very simple but very, very practical note. When you young people are rebelling at a decision of your parents, remember you are young. And I can understand how your brain is working. But it seems to you that this is going to ruin your life. Why are my parents doing this to me? This is ruining my life. Can they not see that? I want to tell you, that's the devil's lie. And God's promise is, if you want to bless your life, honor your father and your mother. Don't believe the devil's lie that this is going to wreck your life. Obeying the Lord in this will bless your life. It is often pointed out, well, it's not true that if you obey your father and mother that there's a statistical evidence that you're going to live longer. Don't think that's actually what it's saying. Many believe the Old Testament promise was that you're going to live your life to the full in God's provided land. And Paul brings that into the New Testament context. And he is promising that the way to live life to the full is to live it in obedience to God. And when you obey your parents, you know, that doesn't stand alone. Obedience to that command will go along with a lot of other things that make up the pieces of a life that will be full and honorable and honest, industrious and blessed. But I want to tell you, it produces much happiness in the short term, and it produces much happiness in the long term. If you want a blessed life, honor your father and your mother. And yet we should have a greater concern than a long life. Should we not have the concern for everlasting life? Sooner or later, we're going to die. Those parents will die. you will die. Then what? There's something better, of course, than honoring your parents. There's honoring the Lord. Honor Him. And if you honor the Savior, believe me, you will find it much, much easier to honor your parents.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.